You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
Hey there, I want to invite you back towards the seat. We are going to be in our third round of gratitude in the message today. We're going to be starting with a video, and it's only about a minute long. And it's a series, it's part of the same series we watched last week on the science of gratitude. And we'll be watching one for the next couple weeks of Advent. And so let's go ahead. Willie, would you mind hitting the lights back there?
Did you know expressing gratitude is scientifically proven to make you happier? Here's the deal. Humans operate on what's called a hedonic treadmill. We generally stabilize at one level of happiness. Going to a party or going to the beach might perk you up for a minute, but generally, your level of happiness stays constant, whether you spend a day at the park or at the doctor. Basically, we take the things that make us happy for granted, though they stop psyching us up. By practicing gratitude and constantly examining what you're thankful for and why, you stop ignoring what makes you happy. Essentially, being actively grateful will make you a happier person.
Hedonic treadmill is the explanation about how we get in this thing of chasing the feelings of contentedness or happiness. And we think if I just had that, and it makes us happy for a little bit, but it never is fully fulfilling. I've told stories about our Chinese exchange student, Frank. And Frank loved to buy things. It didn't really matter what he was buying. He really, his fashion icon that he looked up to was Kanye West. And so Kanye had shoes, Frank got the shoes. And he was so excited about the UPS truck pulling up. And you know it's bad when all the UPS drivers know his name. Hey, Uchi, yeah. And but he'd get so excited as soon as he would see this, the boxes come. And it was not uncommon for him to get these boxes, open them up, take the thing out of the box, and you know, look at it for a little bit, then put it back in the box and leave it. And then he's looking forward to the next thing. And I think one of the things I look at or I think about in that little clip we just saw is, let's not take the things for granted that we enjoy. I had so much fun this last week watching the pictures and stories from the McConnell and Lear families. You guys are in Hawaii just living great life, celebrating Jenny's wedding, and just it was so cool, especially when it was bad weather here and, you know, seeing Joey out on the golf course, and it's like, man. And they were taking pictures of everything. And that's what you do when you're in Hawaii because it's so beautiful. I can remember being on Kauai with my parents a couple years back, 1 year back. Man, time flies. And I can remember talking to people who actually live in Hawaii. Like, isn't this great? And I said, it's fine. And Peter, I'm not trying to dissuade you from moving. I'm just saying, this is an actual conversation with the lady in the diner where we're eating. It's like, it's fine, but it's expensive. A gallon of milk costs this. And I said, I'm thinking, you live on probably one of the most beautiful places in the world, and I can't wait to get out of here and start. I don't take selfies, but I'm going to take a selfie with this rooster here because we're in Kauai together. And she is like, eh. Like, well, that wouldn't be me. It might, if we're taking for granted the things that we're being, the good stuff that's happening in our life. And over these next weeks, my hope is that you take the time to think through and to acknowledge the people who you're thankful for and to speak that. And to look for things to be grateful about. And so, there's a couple things. Some of you know, occasionally I wrestle with anxiety. And I'd say for probably the last several months since August, I had an episode on August 1st and went to the hospital and everything's fine. You know, half my face was numb and I was freaking out. And I said, nope, that's just one of the potential side effects. And every once in a while, I have these just for no reason. There's not a trigger that I can find. It just kind of shows up. And this morning, I was having a little bit of panic. And I don't know if you wrestle with anxiety. It really is something that you wrestle. If you wrestle with it, you know there's the hint of when it starts to kind of build up and get to be overwhelming. And it was right at that moment. I've had, you know, my wife put her hand on my chest and pray for me, and it's so helpful. But right at the moment when we're singing How Great Is Our God, I get this, and it's like, Lord, I don't want this. I don't want this. And he says, I'm big enough for it. And I just wanted to share that because I still have just like these little hints of feeling a little bit, but I'm going forward because I believe I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. And I wanted to share that with you because it's important for me to, that you would know kind of what's going on in my life, because years I did not share stuff personally, and I just kind of kept it to myself. And I'm so thankful for a congregation that extends grace and prays for me and recognizes, I had somebody say not too long ago, you're just like us. It's like, yeah, that's about right. Isn't that beautiful? And it makes me happy because I'm so thankful for you guys. So talking about gratitude, I've got a couple of definitions. I actually looked it up in dictionary.com. I don't know if Webster and Merriam would have been pleased with this, but I looked it up. The quality or feeling of being grateful or thankful, being warmly or deeply appreciative of kindness or benefits received. We're talking about expressing gratitude. It's you're being thankful, you're being grateful, you are appreciating that which is happening in your life, and you're sharing that. From the science of gratitude, we saw last week in the video that for people who actually take time to express their gratitude to the people that they're grateful for, their happiness went up measurably. And so my encouragement to you is look to be a person who is trying to make yourself happier. Okay, by being grateful and expressing that, because I can tell you what happens when somebody says to me, thank you. It does something transforming, because it makes you feel like life is you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Something else with gratitude. Gratitude really is a choice. It's a heart attitude. It's an orientation of life. Just about every wedding I do these days, I will tell the bride and the groom as they're standing there, rarely do they stand there looking at each other, you know, with surly looks on their faces when they're getting married. Usually it's the, and you could say, you know, there's a nuclear war coming, and they'll be like, but we're together. And just, they're so in love. And I look at I say, you know, you guys, a lot of the time, you may not remember this down the road when there's conflict and when you're having difficulty, and the man that you love, because he's a strong silent type, you're ticked off at him because he won't talk. Or she's so unpredictable and wonderful, you just wish you could predict anything, that she'd just be consistent. And I will tell him, whatever you look for in each other, you will find. Whatever, if you're looking for the things to get angry about, you're going to find something in them to nitpick, because they're human beings. But with the same measure you use towards them, it'll be used towards you. So look for the things you can be grateful for and thankful for, and speak those to each other. And maybe that's good advice for us today as well. We are in the middle of the Advent season. Advent is a word that means coming. And really, Advent is a time where we remember Jesus' first coming. The entire Christmas season is about acknowledging when Christ became Emmanuel, God with us. And God chose to reconcile humanity to himself by sending himself. For years and years and years, God had attempted to establish relationship with his people, starting with, you go back to Adam, but you go to Abraham, going back to him and saying, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to multiply you, I'm going to cause you to be a blessing to people. And generation to generation, we see he finally ends up sending his own son to pay the price that we could be in relationship with him. So we're celebrating the first coming, Christmas, but really the thrust of Advent is we're also looking forward to the second coming. And my prayer is that as we go through this Advent season, there's going to be times where you will see Jesus coming into your life and your heart in new ways. I'm not talking about getting re-saved. I'm talking about experiencing new things in your relationship with him. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. No matter how long we've been walking with the Lord, we can never know everything there is to know about him. There's so many facets of who he is and what he would like to do. And when I was a kid, I can remember looking up to people at church and thinking that they had their life together. Because I was a kid, and of course, they're at church, they have great motives, they're wonderful relationships, and I can remember seeing over time, people just kind of would disappear, and sometimes people move, sometimes people stop coming to church, but I can remember asking my parents a couple of times, you know, whatever happened to so-and-so? I mean, they were leaders in our church, and then they're gone. I said, well, they went through a rough patch, and they decided that they are not going to be Christians anymore. Kind of just bailed. And they bailed on each other. And it was like, I was shaken because that's not what we do. I mean, I have this belief system that if we're going to be living for Jesus, that we're going to continue to seek after him. And even when there's difficulty, we're going to hold on to him. And not everybody's in that spot. Not everybody knows that Jesus, the one who is bringing new things every single day. And so all that background to say, I want to encourage you, be looking for the new things God has for you. He's not bored. He's not thinking, okay, it's Christmas season. You know, Pete, how old are you now? 35 years old, Peter Johnson. Okay, and how many years have you been a Christian? 31 years. I know what it's like to grow up in church and feel like you're almost going autopilot when it comes to relationship with Jesus. And that's not what his desire is, that we would do that, where we go in and we do our time, go to church, you know, check the scores, and leave. God wants to continue to do new things, and that's not what I'm doing with this, by the way, in case you're wondering. My team doesn't play till 1:25. It's looking for the new things that God wants to do in your life and in your heart. And the only way you're going to see those new things is if you do some preparation in here. And we're going to talk about what it means to prepare your heart. And so let's start looking at Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" Prepare the way. This is actually referring to something that was prophesied by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 40. It's a prophetic declaration of God's intervention with his people. And the messenger gives his people encouragement to prepare the way of the Lord because he's coming. And this is really, there's two things that the way could mean. A way would be like a road. It could be literal, a pathway. So he's saying, in Isaiah he says, "I want you to prepare the way of the Lord." It's going to be this road in the wilderness, out in the middle of nowhere. Make straight the crooked places. Level out the areas that are wonky. That was my word, not Isaiah's, but you get the idea. But there's also the metaphor, it says prepare the way of the Lord is. It's a course of conduct, a matter of thinking, a matter of feeling and deciding. It has to do with preparing the place where God, the Lord, can enter. This is fulfilled with John the Baptist and his message of repentance. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, but it's also being fulfilled as we receive the things that God is bringing to us. Prepare the way of the Lord. And every time I hear this, I'm left to think, okay, what do you want to do to prepare this? And it's very nice. You could go home today and say, "Pastor talked about preparing your hearts." What does that mean? I don't know. What is preparing your heart? How does one prepare your heart? Okay, there's lots of things you can prepare for. I actually brainstormed with my daughter this week about what are things you can prep for. I said, "I'm doing some sermon prep, and I would like you to help me. What are other things you prep for?" And she said, you already got one, sermon prep. You're doing so good." And that's one of the reasons I love her, because she's so encouraging. But what are some of the things that you have to prep for if it's going to be good? Day of rest. Doomsday. Doomsday. Okay, preparing for it. I'm kind of stuck on doomsday for a second. A party. What else? What are we? A test. Okay, what else are we prepping for? Vacation. Grocery shopping. No, don't you just go into the store and just wander around and grab whatever you want and throw it in? Yeah, there's lists involved. One of the things, since you mentioned that, Katie, you didn't know this, but my wife and I occasionally have a conflict about lists. And there's a really cool app called Wunderlist. And we can share our grocery shopping with each other. And it's a wonderful thing. But one of the things that is not my favorite thing is when I'm out there in the store, usually it's Costco, and I plan out my list to go get everything. And every time I click on the button saying I got this, it notifies Joni and lets her know where I am in Costco. And then she has the audacity to start putting stuff on the list. And it's like, that is across the store. And so we're going back. Anyway, that just reminded me of lists. Should be helpful. Yes. What else do we prep for? Camping? Cooking? Meal prep. Who does meal prep? Why does one do meal prep? Because when you wake up in the morning and you don't have a ton of time before work, isn't it nice to be able to say, you know what? I'm going to get out some of those egg sausage biscuits that I made that are so incredible. and I'm just going to heat it up in the microwave or heat it up on the stove for a couple minutes and then go. Or you get to say, I guess I'll have a Quest bar again because I didn't have the time. So what else do we prep for? Prepping for a race.
Tess.
Yes, we've got tests. New baby. Oh, who does that? Yeah, my dear friend Matt Clapham. Many of you know Maddie. He found out his wife was pregnant. Not now. This was back in the day. And probably she'd been pregnant for probably 3 months. And we went out to lunch, and I went out to his car, and his car is full of stuff, suitcases, and there's toys, and there's bags. I said, what's going on? He said, I got my go bags. I said, for what? I said, for when my kid's born. I said, you mean in 7 months? Okay. But he's ready. So there's tons of things we can prep for. And I wanted to give you, to kind of jostle your brain a little bit to thinking about things that you prep for, because there may be some of those same principles that, about prepping for food, prepping for a test, prepping to go on vacation, prepping for a message. Aren't you glad I take time during the week to prep? Instead of just showing up and saying, here, just let the Spirit move. Well, the Spirit will move me on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday just as well if I take the time to do it, because we don't gather just to hear somebody talk. We gather, hopefully, to hear what God wants to speak to us, and thank the Lord he does. But I want you to be thinking through, what are some of the things or principles I can take from prep in some way, shape, or form to thinking about preparing my heart? With the Jews, preparation was a very key part of life. They actually had a day during the week that was called the Day of Preparation, because every practicing Jew would keep the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is the day that would be from Friday night all the way to Saturday night, and they would do no work at all on that day. So how can one do no work at all on the Sabbath and still have food and still have water and still have all the necessities that you need? You prepare beforehand. And they would go into great extravagant detail, attempting to make sure their every need would be fulfilled, so that when it came to the Sabbath, they would be able to enjoy it as it was supposed to be enjoyed. And here, please don't hear when you hear Sabbath. And you may have heard or seen, there's a Marc Chagall painting called Sabbath. And it shows a bunch of kids and old people sitting in a room, and they look like they're just bored out of their skulls. That's the opposite of what the intent of Sabbath was. The whole idea of the Sabbath was to celebrate or receive Sabbath coming into your life like a queen. And you're preparing yourself the entire week to embrace this visit from the queen. And you get to eat your best meal that day. You get to do the things you enjoy the most that day. There's time where you stop, you rest, you celebrate, and you reflect, those four things. But the day of preparation was such an important part, because if they didn't prepare, they wouldn't have what they needed on that day. As I'm looking at this, what preparation looks like for us and looks like for our hearts, I can't tell you, and here's the steps you need to take. I wish it was is that easy, but our relationship with Jesus is not a linear process. Many of the times we think, okay, I'm starting with Jesus, and the things he wants to work on are not necessarily the big things that I would say he really needs to work on. He starts working on different stuff. So as we're thinking about what does it look like to prepare our hearts, I want to revisit Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and just read this again and let it sit in our hearts a bit. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." We're singing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room." Okay, prepare. What I see in that verse, the first one, it says John is going around and he's calling all the people who hear his voice to repent. What do we know about John the Baptist? He was intense. He was probably raised by monks, most likely, because his parents would have died when he was very young. He did not wear fine clothes. He dressed himself in camel hair. He ate locusts, which could be actual grasshopper type things, or they could be these seed pods, and honey. And that was it. And he was known as a person who was the one who's going to prepare the way for the Christ. And as soon as he starts declaring this message of repentance, people are flocking to him from all over. And they want to hear this message. So when you hear the word repent, what image comes to your head? Somebody that you want to go and interact with? Or somebody you want to kind of go and run away from? Think about repentance. When we think repentance, what is it? There's a call to repentance. Oh, here we go, repent. Can you say repent without having an ugly look on your face? I hope so. I'm going to read one of the best definitions for repentance that I've ever seen is in the Journey books. If you've ever gone through Daniel Brown's Journey books, phenomenal resource, and it's not just for people who are just starting out in the relationship with Jesus, because really, you know, if you've been with Jesus for a day or for 50 years, the fundamental things of Christianity are what God continues to call us back to do. Don't get so smart with all the biblical knowledge you have and forget your first love. Okay? So, repentance. If you want to make good progress on your journey, repentance is essential. Repentance enables you to get turned back around whenever you get lost or off track, regardless of whose fault it might be that you ended up where you do not belong. Repentance is not a tool to condemn us for where we have been, but it is an instrument of blessing to get us where God eagerly wants us to end up. Think on that for a second. Repentance is an enriching part of our journey. It helps us to respond to God, to get where he wants us to go and where he wants us to end up. Truly an instrument of blessing. Something of that blessing was happening with John the Baptist, because as he's 20 miles out, he's not preaching repentance in Jerusalem. He's at least 20 miles out next to the Jordan River, and people are hearing the message. What are we supposed to do? He says, don't charge more than you should charge. Talking to this lady, says, you know, what am I supposed to do? He says, well, love your husband, love your kids. There's very practical ways of what repentance looks like. Make the crooked ways straight. And so I'm hoping by now you're starting to think of, Lord, what are the areas in my heart and life that are potentially crooked ways that need to be prepared or made straight? You might know off the top of your head. If we have that El Guapo in our life, it's like, yes, it's still this thing that needs to be made straight. A lot of the time, though, if we knew that there was something big that needed to be worked on, we'd be working on it. And this is where we have the opportunity to take stock of where we are, but also to invite the Holy Spirit to come in and to search our hearts. And a lot of the time, for me, what that ends up looking like comes in the form of reading Psalm chapter 139. At the end of Psalm 139, there's a prayer, and David says, search me, Father, know my heart, try me, know my mind. If there's any wicked way in me, pull me to the rock everlasting. And it's basically David's prayer that we get to borrow or tag team on to invite the Holy Spirit to come in and to point out the areas of our heart and life that need to be made straight, or other areas in our life that need to be watered, or other areas that we're looking for God's transformation to happen. One of the things that's happening in my own life right now is in getting ready for the 20-year party that's happening on January 19th. I'm so excited for this. I started going through my office, and I have clutter there mostly. But I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, I have kept so much stuff in here because one day I might need it. And I can guarantee you, I didn't pick up that binder for at least 10 years. So do I really need it? Probably. I would need it. And so what I've been doing as I'm praying this prayer too. I'm saying, God, search my heart. And so I'm going through my office, and I don't know what's supposed to be thrown away, but I'm just poking around in there, and I found stuff from 2003, papers, notes that I'd taken that said, do not throw away. And I don't know why. I don't know why it says don't throw away, because it didn't seem that important to me when I'm looking at it. And I'm going through all this stuff, and pretty soon I've got a whole bag, like a hefty bag, full of stuff to be thrown away. And a lot of it I've been keeping just in case. And I don't know that I had this epiphany where God says, and this is what this represents. But it was really, he said, this is what I'm doing in your heart. When you ask me to search and to try you and know your heart, know what's going on, I'm just kind of poking around to see what's in there, to see what I can find. I'm shining the light into different nooks and crannies. And if you're taking the time to be with me, you're also giving me opportunity to speak to you. Never in my life have I ever been corrected by God in a way that was shameful or accusatory or condemning, because that's not how God deals with us. when we hear the word repent, we often will associate repentance with something that we've seen, some depiction of John the Baptist like he's some crazed maniac, who if that was the case, people would not have traveled, you know, more than 20 miles to go out and hear what he was saying and being cut to the heart and responding to God. Okay, that isn't what he was. Repentance is not the guys on the UNR quad who stand with bullhorns and hold up signs that say, you know, you filthy sinners, you're all going to hell. It's an invitation to align ourselves with what God's way of life is. And repentance has to do with a change of heart, a change of mind, and a change of action. And when I'm talking about this call to repentance, it's really this invitation to invite Jesus to come in and to go through the office of your heart with a flashlight and to start looking for stuff that could potentially be gotten rid of. It was so liberating for me to sit at my desk and to look at all the stuff that I was getting ready to throw away. And I hear God saying, you didn't need any of this, and you've been keeping this around for so long. And it made me think, how much other stuff have I been keeping around in here that I'm going to keep just in case? There's a lot of humility required to continue to come to Jesus and repent. And I'm not talking about a false humility. It's really recognizing, I need the Lord. May we never forget our total dependence upon him, and that we can only truly come to him, not in a position of pride and greatness, but in absolute humility. Jesus tells a story about a Pharisee and a tax collector. And he says, the Pharisee comes into the church and he's praying and he says, God, it's good to be me. Thank you for blessing me and that I can just do awesome things, and thankful that I'm not like that guy over there and I'm not like that person over there. And it's just, this is just awesome. And it says the other guy, this tax collector, is on his knees, won't even look up to heaven. He's beating his breast and he says, please have mercy upon me. Forgive me. It wasn't the one for our ability to receive from him. It establishes us in an oppositional role to him, because he says we can only come to him with humble hearts, like dearly loved children. So what does it look like to prepare your hearts? I don't know. I just know for me it means giving opportunity. It means creating time and space to be able to sit and to think and to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me. And it involves talking to a couple of trusted friends and bouncing off of them the things that are coming to mind. Because what I really want to do is I want my heart in 2019 to get rid of some of the junk that's in there. And I don't want to start chucking stuff that I'm actually going to need later. One of the problems when we start doing psychoanalyzing ourselves is we can start cutting off what we think are our worst traits. We need to get rid of them. It may be that God doesn't want to get rid of those traits. What he wants to do is refine and redeem them. So we go at ourselves with the chainsaw. Jesus is coming at us with the little bonsai tree clippers. He's cutting off little stuff. He said, no, I'm going to keep this. This is important. This is what makes it good. Does this make sense? Okay. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I ask for each person in the room, each person who's listening to this, I pray that you would cause your humility to dwell richly in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, when we hear the call to repentance, we see it as an opportunity to be enriched and to line up with the way that you want us to walk, leading us in paths of blessing and paths of life. Lord, that we would be able to walk away from the destructive habits or destructive thought patterns or things that do not honor you, or just things that clutter and keep us so busy or keep us so occupied that we don't have the time or the space or the brain space to do what you would be calling us to do. And as we ask you, Lord, to prepare, help us prepare our hearts to go through that, I pray that you would give us wisdom to be able to tell when you're talking to us, and also, Lord, be able to tell when we're just kind of thinking on our own. More than anything, Lord, we want our hearts to be open and ready for your coming, whether it be celebrating Christmas, whether it be when you finally return. In the middle of all this, Lord, I pray for a special blessing upon each person who's hearing this as well. I pray where there has been sadness and grief, where there's been anger and frustration, where there's been loss, where there's been lack, I pray that you would meet needs. I pray that you would lift people's heads. I pray that you would bring joy. I thank you, God, for your care. In Jesus' name, amen. So over these next couple of days, my prayer is that you take a couple minutes. Start the day and end the day taking stock. I mean, all of you, well, most people, Debbie never wears shoes mostly in the summertime. It's usually flip-flops. You wore shoes today. I was like, wow. But most of us, you put on shoes of some sort in the day, and at the end of the day, you take them off. When you're putting your shoes on, think of that as a cue just to kind of check in. Okay, God, search me. Whatever needs to happen. At the end of the day, you're taking off your shoes. Okay, Lord, search me. What came up today? And maybe you start writing things down next to your bed. I'd use a notepad. Writing stuff on bedside tables not really looked at as a good idea. Maybe you keep notes on your phone. But if you take time each day to check, a good opportunity to see that God is going to speak to you because he's just waiting to. Right on? So right after we're done, there's going to be a couple people up here who are available to pray with you. And maybe something's come up. Maybe you want to find out more about starting a relationship with Jesus. Maybe somebody's sick or hurt or in a point of need. This would invite you to take advantage of that opportunity. And also look for opportunities to be grateful and to express your gratitude to people. Right on? So let's have a great rest of Sunday, and God bless you.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's W-E-B @hillside4.org.